And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I know we have a lot of stuff to talk about because this was very consequential political week. But before, and as a way of getting into it, I wanted to ask you some questions about voting patterns and political patterns in Pennsylvania. Now, the presidential election in Pennsylvania was decided by 82,000 votes. In Pennsylvania, we have 600,000 voting people who come from Latin American countries, either Central America or South America, 600,000 voters eligible to vote. Most of these voters have traditionally voted Democratic. There is a pronounced shift to the Republicans. And for us, it's especially interesting because Luzerne County is a home, one of the three centers of Hispanic population in Pennsylvania. And that shift in Luzerne County toward the Republicans has been really the story of the strength of the Republican Party's growth from Hillary Clinton's campaign forward. What do you think of this? Have you been thinking about this at all?
Yeah, well, that shift was actually occurring before Hillary's campaign, but it accelerated, I think, with that. And in some ways, it's runs counter to what you'd think would have happened. Remember that Hazleton was run by a mayor named Lou Barletta, who really at the outset of the MAGA movement engineered a number of city rules or laws that were really discriminatory in nature against Hispanics. And
Barletta was at the forefront of making anti-immigration a plank of the Republican Party in the modern era.
Right. And he was, he fit right in with Donald Trump's initial.
At the beginning, he was his first endorser in Pennsylvania.
Yes, he was. He was either thunder or lightning, he and Marino.
Yeah.
Representative Marino. And ultimately, Lou Barletta, on the third attempt, was able to unseat the Democratic congressman from down there, Paul Kanjorski. And one would have thought that his actions, and particularly later on after the courts ruled that his actions would cost the city of Hazleton, I believe, over $1 million because of they were ruled illegal, unconstitutional, would have, turned people off to Lou Barletta, but it only strengthened him. And Hazleton had continued to be more and more Hispanic. It's now a majority Hispanic town.
Well, from the viewpoint of total population, two-thirds of the population is from Central and South America. 90% of them from the Dominican Republic. That's two-thirds of the population.
Yeah.
Not of the voting population, of the total population.
Yeah. But they've never elected a Hispanic to a citywide office.
No.
So the power brokers...
And everything there is a citywide office. They don't have district voting.
Right.
It's all the whole city.
Right. But the power brokers have managed to, in many ways, co-opt the Hispanic population while keeping them out of power.
Right.
Even in the last election, the Hispanics, and you had mentioned to me that led by clergy, are registering in greater numbers, the ones who are eligible to vote, and they're voting Republican.
Right.
Which makes you wonder, this is, what's the matter with Kansas has come home to Luzerne County.
Yeah, especially because the poverty rate in Hazleton is 27%, up 5% in a year, 1 year period. 27% poverty rate. And you can bet your bottom dollar a large percentage of that is Hispanic.
Oh, I'm sure. And the crime rate that they have, I'm sure a significant portion, or at least seen as being Hispanic.
Yeah.
And that's the Trumpist thing. You know, they're all criminals.
Yeah.
The Stephen Miller theory or what have you.
So how are the Republicans managing to do this? Why is it that the Democrats in Luzerne County have not been able to do what you would expect they should be doing, which is to say to working class people, we're your defenders, and here's how we defend you?
Well, that's the interesting part. The Democrats haven't been able to figure this out. They've gotten caught up in policy rather than in persona. They haven't been able to translate policies which would really help these people in a way that's communicated to the people that it would really help them.
Well, yeah, and you can't blame them just in Hazleton because Democrats haven't done this anywhere.
Well, yeah, they took the Hispanic vote for granted for a while, and then they got caught up in these verbiage, you know, Latinx,
yeah,
which
right.
None of the Latinos use.
Right.
All right?
Right.
It's only used by liberals or progressives referring to them. And there were a couple of things. One is on immigration. And we saw this particularly in Texas last year, that the people that have come here legally and are in line waiting for citizenship or waiting for other government approvals have been resentful of the policy of allowing thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people into the country and giving them benefits without having to wait. And that resentment has translated into Republican votes. We've also, the idea, I think, of women's rights affects the macho part of the Latin culture. And the economic the ideas of socialism that the Republicans label everything as runs against the grain of people who've come here. They've been under rule of dictators and what have you, where you've had government run things that haven't been, you know, benefited the many. It's only benefited the few. So you put all of those things together and you know, you've got what you have right now. You have what you have.
I think down in Hazleton, you can't overstate the influence of the 50 pastors who run the 50 Hispanic congregations in Hazleton, all of whom are Republican activists. All of them. All of them. That's a hell of an organizing cadre.
Yeah. But again, all of, you know, if they're Catholic or if they're evangelical, they're all male oriented.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Again, and that's the big factor.
That's right.
That's they feel threatened by women, and the abortion issue may play into some of that as well.
Well, of course, these people are living in an atmosphere, especially in rural Pennsylvania, where Hazleton is, that's conditioned by the ideas of the MAGA people, the people like Charlie Kirk, people like Donald Trump, people like Steve Bannon. That's the political culture that they're some, you know, immersed in, because the Democrats don't really oppose it. They don't. They're present in their absence. So what people encounter daily is the world as seen through Donald Trump's fevered imagination. And
yeah.
You know, you can hardly blame them.
No, I mean
they're being victimized.
They don't know it.
That's part of the victimization, that they don't know it. That's exactly right. That's right.
They don't know it. And it's, you know, it's a divide and conquer thing, you know. They point to other people as being their enemy rather than being their allies.
Well, that is populism's in America. That is populism's strategic approach. It's always the fault of the immigrant. It's always whatever it is.
The other,
you know, the other, the other.
Yeah, it's tribalism. It's a, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter who the other is, as long as it's the other. It ain't you.
It ain't you, and you've got to have another. And in American history, it was Irish. They were the other. It's always been blacks. They're the other. Then it was Italians and Jews. They were the other.
Yeah.
Then it was whoever the hell it was. Then it was Puerto Ricans. Then it was other people from Latin America. Then it was anybody from not the 48 states. Then it was anybody from the 50 states, provided their both parents weren't born here. And but there's always another.
I'm always
never the banker. You know, it's never the big businessman.
Yeah, you know, a couple of months ago, Tom Lehrer died.
Right.
If you remember him and his songs back in the 1960s, professor at Harvard of Music, who's a kind of a interesting guy, and he had that, I can't remember the title of the song, you know, but it went, the black folks hate the white folks, and the white folks hate the black folks.
Yeah.
And he went on, you know, Catholics hate the Protestants, Protestants hate the Catholics.
And they all hate the Jews.
The chorus line was, everyone hates the Jews, right?
Right.
But that was he was very perceptive. That was the strategy.
Yeah, and it is
a strategy.
Yeah, and Kirk, who was assassinated this week, Charlie Kirk, made his fortune and his reputation and his prominence by promoting that strategy.
Yeah,
that's what his historic role was, to do that.
But he did it in a different way.
Well, he did it though.
First of all, he carved out a niche for himself. He was going to go after the young people. And as you know, that the young people generally weren't voters, but he got a lot of them to become politically active or politically sensitive to
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And he would go out and he would debate. He would throw out his ideas and test them and work on them and work on answers. And he would go to where the young people were, the college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was remarkable when you saw that crowd in Utah. There was 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of luck getting at so many other colleges or universities, trying to get 3,000 young people together for anything other than a football game.
Mm-hmm.
You never see that. I mean, the protests last year on behalf of the Palestinians, you didn't see 3,000 people anywhere near any of it, these encampments or what have you, even at the larger universities.
Mm-hmm.
But Kirk could get these people out. And, you know, he had I guess we'll call it a shtick. He would take questions and answers from all of them, or give answers to all of them. In that way, he was like Joe Rogan,
mm-hmm.
The popular podcaster. But Kirk was, you know, more in the mold of Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of filled in a gap of Rush Limbaugh, except Kirk went beyond Rush Limbaugh. I mean, he had a daily show, and he would propagandize and do it in a very clever manner. But he also it was more than a provocateur, which, you know, draws attention. But he was also an organizer. There was follow-up there. And the Democrats have nobody to fill that role. And they've never had a Rush Limbaugh on their side.
Well, the closest was Al Franken.
Yeah, Al Franken, you know, way back when in Colorado you had Berg, who got assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the closest the Democrats have right now is probably Mamdani.
That's right.
Who, and the party is split over him.
Mm-hmm.
He's not on the same page as the establishment Democrats. Whereas
no, and Swozy
is on the same page as the MAGA ruling class.
Yeah, but people have been talking about Charlie Kirk since he got shot, saying that he was an exponent of debate. He was no exponent of debate. He was an exponent of brainwashing.
He was an exploiter of debate.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Better yet, an exploiter.
But he practiced it. Give him credit. He practiced this. He went to places. He tested his answers to see which ones would fulfill.
He's like every stand-up comedian who goes from little club to little club, honing his act until he's good enough to go to Las Vegas.
Right. Yeah, well, that joke didn't get any laughs, so I'm going to throw it out of my repertoire.
Yeah. But uniformly, what he was trying to convince people of was that only white Christian males deserve to have political power. Everybody else is subhuman and requires tutelage, guidance, and leadership from white Christian males. And it is the task of politics to get rid of politics anybody but white Christian males. That was what he was teaching. He was a racist. He was a homophobe. He was a misogynist. He was a war, a promoter of war, not peace. That's what he spent his time doing. And people say, well, he was promoting debate, free speech. Nonsense. That's not free speech. That's propaganda. That's indoctrination.
Yeah, it was probably. But he was making those policies mainstream.
Right.
Making them palatable.
Right. He was using the space that Donald Trump created, because that was Trump's big contribution, none other. He created a space for the public dissemination of that kind of speech, that reactionary speech, whereas previously you couldn't say that out loud. None of that stuff.
I was just going to say the quiet part was said out loud.
Yeah.
And it became normalized.
That's right. That's what Trump did to American political discourse.
Right. He normalized Jim Crow throughout the country.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right.
The 100-year battle to get rid of Jim Crow and its vestiges, we're going backwards on. You know, this week he cut out $350 million to. From historical black colleges, because it's discriminatory against white people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Kirk was especially vigorous in arguing the fact that Jewish people were promoting the replacement of white Christian males by subhuman immigrants, you know, from Latin America especially, but really from anywhere. But this was all a Jewish plot to replace the white Christian male community in the United States. That was one of his themes, and the Great Replacement Theory was one of his passions. And in the face of that, you know, chilling anti-Semitism, you find that his co-thinkers in Israel named a public square after him in one of the cities, and the right-wing ministers in Netanyahu's government all immediately rushed forward to talk about what a great loss the world had because Kirk got killed.
You know,
this is an international phenomenon. This is not limited to one group.
Right. Well, this is what the right wing is so good about, is elevating its people like this to iconic status.
Yeah.
There's a legislator, Pennsylvania state legislator from Lebanon, who wants to have the state name a day after him, have it a public holiday every year in August, Charlie Kirk Day. I mean, this is a guy who never graduated college, never held public office, just was a great propagandist, and, you know, they're deifying him. He's become a martyr to the cause, so to speak.
But he is a martyr to their cause. I mean, could you think of anybody after Trump, who was as popular in MAGA circles in America than Charlie Kirk?
No.
He was influential. He was number two, for sure.
He was number two. I mean, there were some that, you know, Steve Bannon was is up there, but not popular, not as popular.
No.
As Kirk.
And certainly didn't have the following of young people that Kirk had.
No, that was a thing. Because you get young people, you've got generational power.
So this is a big defeat that MAGA has taken. Don't deny that.
Well, you know, but we also should point out how, you know, how well-funded Charlie Kirk had become.
Right.
This wasn't a, you know, a mom-and-pop operation.
No.
It may have started that way.
This wasn't a volunteer group.
No. And I'd seen where, you know, I mean, you had done some research. How big was his annual budget for Turning
$85 million dollars last year. That's just Turning Point. He also had income from books and the speeches he gave and other things he did. But the organization he ran, they took in $85 million and spent $80 million. You know, you can do a lot of organizing. I don't think if you added up all the budgets of every organization on the left or that considers itself or calls itself on the left, you wouldn't come to $80 million. Nowhere near it.
I mean, maybe the most effective fellow for the Democrats right now is Mark Elias, who's going around defending the right to vote. And I don't think he has $85 million behind him.
No. Nobody has that kind of... Well, I mean, Bernie raised a lot of money. AOC has raised a lot of money. There's no doubt about that. But the truth is that Kirk is just one among many like that.
Yeah, I mean, AOC doesn't have this political organization besides her own running for office.
That's right. And the Democratic Socialists don't have any money. It's not like, and they can yell all they want about Soros. He's not giving that kind of money to anybody.
Didn't they just have a breakoff organization?
Soros?
No, the Democratic Socialists, some group that the Democratic Socialists weren't radical enough for.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think they.
But if you want to follow left wing politics that way, you'll be chasing these groups forever and without getting any clarity. Of course, that's what happens. People have disputes and they can't come to resolutions, and they form their own group, and they break off, and then both the groups die.
Right, because they become smaller and smaller.
Yeah, right.
Instead of larger and larger.
Exactly.
By the way, talking about break off groups. We have here in Lackawanna County, the Democratic Party split is now wide open. It had been obvious over the last year since County Commissioner McGloin had resigned his office, and efforts have been made to replace him by the county chairman, Chris Patrick, over the objections of the other county commissioner, Bill Gaughan. And the state Supreme Court jumped in saying that they could not swear in a third commissioner until the process was decided by the court, whether the Home Rule Charter, which was a nomination by the county party and approval by the judges of the county versus an election.
So let me get this straight. The county chairman doesn't want the voters to have a say in who should represent them. He should have the say. That's what the issue is?
Basically, yeah.
As long as we understand it, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, he and State Senator Marty Flynn seem to be on the same side of this. They had originally wanted Brenda Sacco, who had been fired by the old county commissioners, McGloin and Gaughan, to be the replacement.
She was the economic development director.
Yeah, and she was named by the judges, but that process got halted. And then when the Democrats said we're going to have an election, instead on November 4th to do this, she said, I'm not going to run. Apparently, she realized, A, that she probably wouldn't get elected because of the way the party split, and B, she seemed to have had a falling out with Senator Flynn, who then stepped in and decided that the candidate that they would have, while they're fighting whether or not there's going to be an election, if there's going to be an election, their candidate is going to be Tom Welby, who had been who was the interim replacement for Marty Flynn when he left the state house to become a state senator. Meanwhile, Bill Gaughan got a fellow by the name of Mike Cappellini from Jessup to run as an independent, and he secured, as of Friday, he had secured over 1,000 signatures. He needs 864 signatures to run. So we're
now. Let me get this straight. This is horrible. This is really horrible. Yeah. We're confronting a statewide election to retain the Supreme Court justices that the Republicans have challenged,
right.
And these are three Democratic justices. Either you're going to stay in power in office, or they're going to be swept out of office, in which case the Republicans will take over the majority of the Supreme Court in Pennsylvania. And you know for a fact, voting laws will change, abortion laws will change, everything will change for the worse.
Right.
That's the issue. And this is an election that depends solely on mobilizing the vote. It's a turnout election, right? So these guys are arguing, instead of figuring out how they're going to turn out masses of voters out of Scranton and Lackawanna County in order to guarantee that the judges should stay in office, they're arguing about who should have which job so that they can pay off their friends. Isn't that what it comes down to?
Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically.
And then they wonder, why don't people take the Democrats seriously?
Yeah, they're not registering people. They're not.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, this could bring a lot of Democrats out to the polls in November in Lackawanna County.
Right, which is why they don't want to have that.
I mean, I'm
talking about Patrick and his people.
Yeah, but if they have it, it's going to be, these people are not going to vote for the Republican judges.
No, they're not. That's right.
So everybody should be working, the same way there.
Precisely. And the fact that they're not shows that these people who run the party ought not to be in the party, much less not be the leaders of the party.
Well, they want to, you know, there's going to be a purge. The Abington Democrats protested the meeting that Chris Patrick had to anoint Tom Welby. And Welby would not be a bad legislator. Let's face it, he knows his way around.
But that's not the issue. That's not the issue.
No, that's not the issue.
Right.
But they were outside the meeting hall where it took place. By the way, I just want to put this aside in there. The issue that may be dominating the retention election seems to be abortion. And both sides seem to have acknowledged that in their advertising and what have you. And a matter of fact, it's still looming so great that Stacey Garrity, who is the Republicans' favorite to run against Josh Shapiro next year, is now backing off or trying to modify her stance on abortion, which was the religious stance of no abortions, you know, anti-abortion, by saying, well, the law is settled and I'm not going to, you know, we shouldn't be concentrating on upsetting settled law. You know, the same thing that the Brett Kavanaughs and Neil Gorsuch's and Amy Coney Barrett said in their confirmation hearings before they went ahead and changed the law.
Yeah, the law is settled until we unsettle it.
That's it.
Right.
That's it. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. So
that's right. And the culpability of these Democratic Party leaders, and you've pointed them out here in Lackawanna County, but I bet you wherever you look, you'll find similar, you know, co-thinkers and co-act, not conspirators, because they don't need a conspiracy. They all think the same way. And they all are stifling the effective opposition to the push to fascism by the Republicans.
Yeah. Well, and we have a new state Democratic chair. We'll see what he does. Meanwhile,
all right, we have to stop now, of course. We have to stop.
Yeah, this week is Constitution Day.
Mazel tov.
Yes.
See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.